Thank you. You may be seated. The season of preparation, Advent, last week we remembered the hope in our lives and also remain cognizant of the fact that there may be those without hope, and we try to lift those people up, those communities maybe, and praying that despite whatever complications, troubles, or tribulations they are going through, that some measure of hope will be there, especially if we cannot physically ourselves go and ensure that we can be the hope of the world there with our own very physical presence. But today, the second Sunday of Advent, we focus on that impending arrival of Christ and the peace that flows freely from our Lord. Now, when you hear the word peace, what pops into your mind? What kind of peace are we talking about? Peace of the world, serenity, wholeness, was that what I heard? Calmness. Thank you. And I gave away another one. Wholeness. That peace that passes all understanding, that wholeness of God that is given to us. Now, since getting married almost 10 years ago and having known Romy for a year and a half before that, there's a great deal that I have learned from her. For some reason, she tends to be this font of information, remembering down to the slightest detail everything that happens. Like last night, after the Christmas event, we were sitting there and she named every single one of y'all that were here last night, which I thought was amazing. And she did it twice just to make sure her count was accurate. She does great until it comes down to keeping track of the iPhone charger, but that might be my fault. But she always used to give me great little nuggets of information about things I had absolutely zero knowledge of, one of which is Latin. Mom would be disappointed given the fact she's a language arts teacher, but the word Advent comes from that Latin word adventus, which means to come to or to arrive. Now, during this season, we might ask, what might be coming? What's going to be arriving here? That was not a trick question, but evidently I did not end with enough upwards inflection there. We hear the announcements of his impending arrival both inside and outside of the church. No sooner had Halloween almost gotten here, did Target start converting over to Christmas stuff. Did y'all notice that? They can't even let us get through Halloween. 106.7 switched over to 24/7 Christmas music, which is now the default radio station in the car. I remember when we lived upstate and I'd spend sometimes 4 to 6 hours a day driving, listening to music when we were doing home visits, visiting in the hospital, running errands. And there were radio stations. They were a bit more sparse up there than they are here, so our options were very limited. And I got to admit, I can't handle but so many rocking around the Christmas trees before it kills me a little bit inside. We're inundated with Christmas during this season of preparation. And this year we even got that extra week in between Thanksgiving and the first Sunday of Advent. So we had a whole nother week to look at our tree before this season even began. And there's a good story behind our Christmas tree this year, but I'm saving that one for Christmas Eve because it's too good. So this is the season which we prepare to celebrate the arrival of Christ into our world over 2,000 years ago. So now I gotta ask, how do most people prepare for the coming of Christmas? Get rid of Thanksgiving leftovers. Yeah, the last bit of turkey soup is a blessing to see gone, isn't it? Shopping. Decorating. Woo, don't you love Christmas lights? Because there's always that one that ruins it for the rest. Christmas cards, mailing them out. Kids making their Christmas list, getting that tree perfectly upright, not leaning a little way to the left or to the right. putting the lights on the thing, climbing up the 36-foot tree outside trying to get lights on it. That's another good story. Next time I have blood running down my face, someone please tell me before I terrorize the children in the nursery school again. I mean, I understand y'all don't want to call me out on that. Pastor Romy says, by the way, go wipe your face when you get done. She didn't say why. But all these preparations, these are things we do. These are things that tend to consume us in our homes and in our lives to prepare for the coming of Christmas. But then again, we also prepare for Christ's birth in the church as well. We put up special decorations. The tree lighting happens outside. The children prepare a Christmas program that the choir sings down at the train station. We go door to door caroling at the nursing home, or for those who sometimes can't make it out as often as they'd like, especially in the winter season. And then on Christmas Eve, most congregations like us gather for that special worship service. Now, when we do all this, does it help us to find God in our lives? You mail out those cards, standing in line at the post office for stamps, or end up shopping at the mall at Roosevelt Field, which, that's a horrible place at Christmas. Or decorate our homes or church, or go to a holiday party out of obligation, or attend that Christmas Eve service because it's just what we do on Christmas Eve. Are those things enabling us to find God? The answer is not necessarily, I'm afraid. But how in the world could we not find God in all this preparation? Well, one reason might be because we might not be looking for God when we do these things. Maybe we're doing all of them as kind of a chore or a duty or even an annual ritual over the years, mostly empty of any meaning. This may or may not be the case for each of us, but if the things we've been doing to prepare for Christmas, if they have just become a duty or a chore, then perhaps we need to do more than just buy presents, go to parties, send cards, and decorate the outsides and insides of our homes and church. Perhaps in place of these activities, or better yet, in addition to them, we should concentrate more on preparing our hearts. Now, the reason that the old messages there from John the Baptist and that Jesus preached all those years ago are still relevant to us here in 2018 is they tell us how to prepare our hearts to find God. It is, therefore, a wonderful and glorious thing that the gospel gives us a basic overview of the messages of John the Baptist. And to repent, we're to turn from the ways that get in the way of our relationship with God. We're to come to those baptismal waters that cleanse us and that help to remove those impurities that exist within us. We're to remember who and whose we are and journey onward towards perfection. Because the passages from these first Sundays in Advent all press us to look at our lives and to look at the choices that we're making. And if we would not be found without spot or blemish right now, this very day, then we need to make some changes. You know, John Wesley not only called the Methodists to be holy and in heart and life, but also provided us with some clear instructions on how to move towards this goal. One of the leaders in the General Board of Discipleship reflected upon this, that the United Methodist Way is the pursuit of peace of all people and, most important, holiness of heart and life. For what our tradition is too often said to be defined by particular beliefs, programs, or polity. However, according to Wesley, the distinguishing mark of the people called Methodist was their singular striving after holiness of heart and life. Beliefs, programs, and polity exist to move the people toward the goal of holiness. As we engage in practices of holiness, it's important to always be reminded they are only the means to the goal, because too often we focus on what we are doing for Christ and end up taking our eyes off of Christ. We end up confusing the means, works of piety and works of mercy, with the ends, holiness of heart and life. The emphasis shifts from witnessing to Jesus Christ in the world to how I am blessed. Therefore, we need to always remember that the general rule of discipleship and covenant discipleship groups exist to form communities of holiness. They do not exist for the personal benefit of individual members. The rule and the groups are designed to equip congregations to participate in Christ's mission in, with, and for the world. I mean, only to reclaim some of our heritage, the good parts that we've fallen away from. Oh, that'd be a wonderful day for us, the people called Methodist, to remember our journey together and with Christ and the accountability we have one another to not harm but to do good, because that is what it means to tend to the work, to tend to the ordinances of God, and fulfilling what Jesus has placed before us in Matthew 25, that scripture you keep hearing week in and week out from us. Feed the hungry, water to the thirsty, visit the sick in prison, clothe the naked, welcome the stranger. That is when we will have the peace that Christ teaches. That's when we will experience a peace that connects us all together and makes us completely whole and holy. This is when the motions of the season, this is when they're going to regain their grace-filled roots. And we can experience God in all this and be the hands of God in the world. Amen. Amen. Thanks be to God.